Hadn't God been good to you this year? Oh, we just celebrated 2014, leaving 2015, coming in. And God is faithful. You know, it pays to serve God. I tell you, God is so good. He's always watching over us. He's always taking care of us. He's always knows what's going to happen to our lives in such a way that, you know, His protection is always in our lives. If you will, turn in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 40. I'm going to read verse 10 through 12. And I want you to listen to God's protection for us, our individual lives, and our church for 2015. In Isaiah chapter 40, starting with verse 10, "Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance." Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You today. God, it's so good to be in Your house. It's so good that You've allowed us to come and worship You. You protected us and watched over us. Lord, You have been faithful to us. And God, I pray today that we'll be faithful to You. As we start off this year, Lord, I pray that all year we'll just look to You and let You guide every step that we take. For it's in Christ's precious name we ask these things. Amen. When you go to look for a job, what do you look for? If you were looking for a job, what do you think you'd look for? Highest paid salary? That's important, isn't it? We want a good salary. But also, I think if you go further than that, you'd like to look at the benefits that that job had. The retirement program, the payment for the protection of the future. And I think that's important. I think that's more probably important than the high-paying salary, is the benefits. Well, you know, it serves to be a child of God. I think the benefits of being a Christian far outweigh those of not being a Christian. You see, I believe if you look at the Bible, you see God's protection here in this passage of Scripture. He says His arm shall rule for Him. His reward is with Him. His work before Him. He feeds His flock like a shepherd. He gathers His lambs in His arms, carries them to His bosom, and gently leads those who are with young. And then it talks about how great God is. You see, I believe if we serve God, He's there to watch over us and protect us. You know, it's only by God's grace and His mercy that we made it through this last year. Every step we take, we face problems, don't we? We face troubles in life. But praise God, He is merciful and His grace is sufficient to meet every need that we have. I want to talk just a moment about God's protection. And if you look on the back of your bulletin, you'll see an outline. And on the first part of that outline is God builds a hedge around us. Now here's a story. In Job 1, verse 8, the Lord has called His children, His angels, to come around Him. He's called a heavenly host there. And in that heavenly host, there's Satan. I was listening to Brother Bob. Brother Bob's going to be with us in a couple of months. In the end of April, he's going to be here to preach a Bible conference, a revival, or whatever. He's going to preach. And I was listening to him, and he was talking about Job in one of his sermons. And he said, even Satan has to come when God calls him. He was there. God summoned his angels. the sons of God, he said, and even old Satan had to come. He came there and he stood before God and he said to the Lord, "Hast thou considered thy servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and upright man?" God said, "Who fears God and shuns evil?" And old Satan said, "But Job fears God for nothing. Hast thou put a hedge around him?" You see, he's always accusing, isn't he? And he says, "Yeah, I've considered Job, but you put a hedge around him." That word hedge means fence. You built a fence around him. You know, we build fences today. I build a fence in my backyard for my protection of my little dog. Keep the coyotes from getting him, but he's there. And we built that for him. But I also build a hedge for my grandchildren. You know, you build a fence around your yard to keep them from playing out in the street, don't you? Or getting hurt by someone. And Satan says, you know, God, you have built a fence around Job, or a hedge around Job, and nothing can get in. You're protecting Job. No wonder Job serves you. You're protecting him. Pays to serve God, doesn't it? Now, Job's case, it seemed that God has allowed the fence to come down. And, you know, sometimes God does that. God allows sometimes the fence to come down or the gate to be open where Satan can come in, and he does things to us. He did to Job, but, you know, God's still in control. For God said, "Job, Satan, you can do this and that to Job, but he's mine. You can't take his life." And I wondered, you know, people ask me all the time, says, "Preacher, why, if God loves us, why do we have trouble? Why do so many problems seem to come our way?" Well, let me tell you, God sometimes lets the fence down so it will make us stronger in our life. You know, if all we had as Christians in 2014, if everything just went our way and we got blessing after blessing after blessing, and we did. But if we never had any problems in your life or my life, it's kind of like, you know, if you break an arm and you put that arm up in a sling and you don't use it for a while, what happens? It gets weak, doesn't it? The muscles get weak, and before long, if you favor that arm and you never use it, it becomes useless. The same way with a broken leg. That's the reason people go to rehab, to strengthen their body, to rehab their body, that they might become useful again, that they might gain strength in them. And sometimes God allows Satan to put some pressure on us in our life that we might become stronger in our Christian life. Now, we all enjoy the blessings. I know I do. I enjoy the blessings of God. I'd be lying if I said I didn't enjoy them, but I really enjoy the blessings. It's always good to be blessed by God. But you know what? It's in the difficulties of life, when the trials come our way, when the heartaches come our way, that we actually grow spiritually, isn't it? Have you ever wondered why the early church just spread out and preached the gospel everywhere? They were persecuted. It was under the pressure of persecution that the church spread, that thousands were saved. They tried to quieten down the Christians by sawing them in two. They tried to boil them in oil to make them quit talking. They killed them by drowning them in the river or burning them with fire alive. And yet, in all the persecution of the early church, they spread out all over the world and reached the world as they knew it for Christ, because they were under persecution. And I tell you, if God doesn't allow the troubles and trials to come our way, We just sit and enjoy the blessings, but we don't do anything for the blesser. And that's what God wants us to do. So sometimes, yes, He builds a hedge around us, but sometimes God allows the hedge to come down that we might grow stronger through the difficulties of life. And then also, I believe in Job's case, he let the hedge come down to show proof of our love for God. We forget sometimes that there's a battle going on. There's a battle going on today. There has been since the beginning of time when God cast Satan out of heaven. He cast him down. There's been a battle going on between God and Satan. Between God and Satan. Now, all day long, let me tell you something. The war goes on. It goes on and on and on. But Satan lost the battle in heaven, and God booted him out. Said, "You can't be here. Go down to the earth." Now, since the devil has been cast out of heaven, guess what? He can't attack God because God's already whooped him. He attacks God's children. And when you become a child of God, don't you think for a moment that everything's going to be rosy. Man, the battle begins in your life. The old devil, he can't get your soul anymore because you're saved. You've given it to the Lord. But the devil wants to ruin your testimony. The devil wants to hurt you. The devil wants to hurt your family. That's what happened in Job's case. He began to attack Job. And the Bible says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Man, on a day, God summoned all the angels, and Satan said, "The only reason that old Job serves you is because you built that fence around him." What is he doing? He's accusing God and he's accusing Job. And God says, "Satan, from where do you come from?" And Satan said, "Well, I'm going to and fro of all the earth." Now, God didn't ask why he was going to and fro, because what? God knew why he was going to and fro. He knew that he wanted to accuse the brethren. And Satan roams the earth day in and day out, trying to keep God's people from obeying God. Every single day, guess what? Satan is accusing you every time you get out of God's will. And you know what? That's the problem with a lot of our children today. We get out of God's will. And when you're out of God's will, Satan is attacking you. He's running your life. And a lot of people don't even know it. You see? When you say, "Well, I'm out of God's will," you say, "Well, I'm not going to church today." Why? Why don't you go to church today? Old Satan comes and say, "God, I told you, he don't love you as much as he loves the Dallas Cowboys." I thought I'd use them because they're on a little later. And tonight about 6 o'clock, when we have service here, some of you, the old devil's saying, "I told you they wouldn't be back." God loves you. But Satan likes to accuse you. And let me tell you something, that's exactly what he will do. Because you get out of his will, everything starts going wrong, doesn't it? You know why we have more problems than anything? Because we get out of God's will. God's will is for us to have an abundant life. A joyful life. He said, "I came that you might have life and have it" what? "More abundantly." But yet we kind of want to do things our way, and when we get out of God's will, you know, everything kind of goes bad. And we get out of God's will sometimes, and our church people, we don't even know it, do we? We think, well, we're doing all right. And the old devil's just tempting you and tempting you. And the first thing you know, you're not no longer in God's will, so you're no longer in his church. The old devil has blindsided you, and you know, I don't know about you, but he does me that way. He really blindsides me sometimes. And the devil said, now, God, doth Satan, doth Job fear God for no reason at all? He said, the only reason that he's still serving you is you protecting him. You let me touch his life. You see, first he touched his family. Killed his children. Killed his cattle. Job was a wealthy, wealthy man. He took all his wealth away. And he still didn't deny God. But devil come back in the second time and said, hey, you let me touch his life. You let me give him cancer, and we'll see that he don't curse you. God said, okay, I'll tell you what. You can touch his life, but you can't take his life. His life belongs to me. Take all his riches that you blessed him with. Take them. Destroy his body. And that's exactly what the devil did. But you know what? God knew that Job loved him more than life itself. Now, do we love God more than life itself? Satan went on and said, you just let me touch his life and he'll curse you. Now, when God removed the hedge, everything went wrong in Job's life. One tack after the other, yet he still served God. Isn't that a great testimony? Folks, my prayer for you as a member of our church, or if you're here visiting, my prayer for you is that in 2015, God has built a fence around you and blesses you with all. But let me tell you, if you face the trials of life, don't turn away from God. Those trials are to make us stronger, and those trials are to show proof that we will serve God. You know, it's easy to serve God when everything's going right, isn't it? But what if things go wrong? Will you still serve God? I hope you will. Reminds me of the old boxer. This boxer got in the ring with his opponent. The bell rung and they got in there, and that opponent just whipped that old boxer. He was knocking him down. He was staggering. He got back to his corner. His old manager said, don't worry about it, buddy. He ain't laid a finger on you. Just keep an eye. Get swinging. Keep your hands up. Keep swinging. Bell went off. He got back in there the second time. Same thing happened. Boy, that other opponent beat him to a pulp. He got back over in the corner and he sat down. His manager's wife and said, he ain't laid a finger on you, brother. Just keep on keeping your gloves up. Keep swinging. You'll get him. You'll get him. You got him. You got him on the ropes. You'll get him. Third time he went in there, same thing happened. Got back to the corner and the manager said, listen, he hadn't laid a finger on you. You just keep your hands up. You keep swinging. Don't give up. And he said, listen, you watch the referee. Because if he ain't laying a finger on me, somebody's beating the devil out of me. Well, let me tell you something. That's the way it is sometimes. The old devil whips us and whips us and whips us. But let me tell you something. As long as we are faithful to God, God says you will come through. The Job's life, he came through. But there are troubles in life. God has built a hedge of protection around us. I believe he's built a hedge of protection around this church. I know he loves this church. He watches over this church. He takes care of this church. It's his church. I'm just a pastor. But he rules the church. It's God's church. And the point is here, folks, in God's protection, when the hedge comes down, regardless of what we face, God says, listen, my child, my grace and mercy are sufficient for you. Not only has he built a hedge around us, he has his arms or hands around us. Over in the Bible in John, let me read this, John 10, verse 28, it says this, my sheep hear my voice in 27, and I know them and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Man, he's got his hands around us. Amen. He's got his hands around us. Where are you today? If you are a born again believer, you are in the hands of God. And we need to understand that we serve a great and mighty God. Think about it. Look at verse 40, I read it a while ago. Let me get it. I want to read it right. Who has measured the water in the hollow of his hand and measured the skies with a span? You know what that means? He measured the universe with just the span of his hand, folks. He's measured and weighed the mountains by the scales in his hands. Man, God laid out the heavens just like that. Boom. Now, let me tell you something. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. That's 671 million miles an hour. Can you imagine that? No, we can't, can we? 671 million, we can't even understand that. Much less miles per an hour. You know what? I was telling Brother Bill, we sat down there looking at stars one night and trying to find a Big Dipper, and from where we were standing, you couldn't see the Big Dipper, but I was telling him, if you travel the handle of the Big Dipper and you take off at this end and you travel the handle, if you travel 671 million miles in an hour, you couldn't travel from one end of the Big Dipper of the handle to the other in your lifetime. Now you think about that. How great of God we have who measured out the heavens by the span of his hand, folks. And not only that, he measured the water in the hollow of his hand. Hey, look at that. Hand. H-A-N-D. It's not hands, it's hand. In other words, the ocean, the rivers, the creeks, the ponds, all the water on the earth will fit right in the palm of his hand. How great a God we have. And you know what? I'm in that hand. And the Bible says he holds us and nothing shall pluck us out of his hand. Folks, that's God's protection. Now, no man can lose our salvation. People always tell me, well, what if we fail and lose our salvation? You know what? If you're in the center of his hand and all that water's there and everything that, you better start crawling, because if you can't travel the distance of the Big Dipper in your lifetime, traveling 671 million miles an hour, you're going to have to crawl a long way before you can fall out of his hand. You can't do it. There's nothing can separate you from the love of God. And if you think that God, who saved you, you didn't have any part in it. All you did was trust him by faith. He died for you. He did the saving. He's got you in the hollow of his hand. He's got you in his hand. If you think you can lose your salvation and you're not safe, you just don't know how great a God you have. You better get into the Bible and start reading. You better get into the Word of God and start praying. You better get into a Bible class and start learning how great a God you are. For when Jesus died, he died once and for all for your sins past, present, and future. Man, we've got a great God. A hedge around us, his hands around us, and a helper about us. Jesus said, when I go, he's talking to his disciples, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, but I will come again. But until then, I'm going to send another comforter to be with you. That's the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is our helper today. You know, while Jesus was here, he comforted the disciples. He was there in their presence, but he said, I'm going to go away, and I will send, the Father will send another comforter to guide you and to direct you and touch your life and help you. And you've got a great helper in the Holy Spirit. That's the third person of God, you see. It's not an it. It's a real person. It's God himself in the Spirit helping you, guiding you. A lady told me, this is a true story. She's gone now. But a lady told me that, you know, we're filled with fear, aren't we? We have anxiety. We have anxiety attacks. We need comfort. A lady was telling me that she had gone to the hospital to have a heart exam. Her heart wasn't working real good. She was up in the years, and she was really worried. She was just at the point of spiritual exhaustion, worrying. And it was really nothing but kind of panic had set in. She was thinking about dying, and the doctor had given her a bad report, and she was in a wheelchair with her daughter, and her daughter said that I didn't know what to say. She said this and that and asked me questions, and I didn't have an answer. And all of a sudden, a man walked up and knelt down in front of her and said, ma'am, can I pray with you? A total stranger. And he said, this is what happened. I saw you sitting here when I got in my car and left a while ago. And I drove down the road heading home. And God spoke to my heart and said, you need to go back and pray with that lady. And he said, Lord, I don't know that lady. And I kept driving. And I was several miles down the road, and God said, I told you, you need to go back and pray with that lady. And he said, I turned around, and I came back, and I don't know you, but God does. He knows all about you. And he said, he wanted me to come back and pray with you. And he started praying. She said he prayed and he prayed. And the first thing you know, that anxiety was gone. The worry was gone. And there was a peace that just flooded her life. Not only that, she said, my daughter was peaceful about the situation. And when he got through, he said, ma'am, she said, are you an angel? No, I'm just a saint of God, just like you. And God comforts us through others. And he told me to come back and pray for you, and I'm glad I did. Folks, God, through the power of the Holy Spirit led that guy back. I'm so glad that people like that are in the center of God's will enough that God can speak to them and they will do what He commands. Even if you don't know that person, God speaks to your heart. Obey. For that's what the Holy Spirit does. It guides us in life. You know? It protects us. God watches over us through the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. God helps us. So we have a hedge around us. His hands around us. His helper, the Holy Spirit, about us. And not only that, we have a hope above us. You know, one day, I'll inherit enough wealth that I can live a life of luxury. Something a lot of people don't ever have that opportunity to do. God has blessed us. And someday, I'll have that. People say, well, preacher, that's just a pipe dream. I said, no, it's not. If I told you, men, if I told you, Brother Tom likes to hunt, if I told you you could go to Cabela's and you could just have anything you could have up there, you want all you want, you can put in the shopping cart and take out, man, he would think he had died and gone to heaven. But you know, that's what we have, don't we? Every born-again Christian is just like me. One day, you're going to receive an inheritance. You're not poor. You're rich in Christ. My Heavenly Father has left it to me. He's given it to me. Oh, down here, I may not have enough to eat. But you know, God's going to provide for every need I have. He always has. He provides everything, not everything I want, but everything that I need, God has provided. And He provides for you the same way. But one day, the Bible tells me, and we have this hope, and that word hope is assurance, folks. We have this assurance in Christ. Why? Because He has paid the price that one day I will be living in Him, with Him in glory forever. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when by His grace I shall look on His face. That will be glory for me. Man, listen to what Paul said. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all of you who love His appearing. That means if you're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you've got a reward, an inheritance, assured in heaven, greater than anything down here on earth. But let me tell you something. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ, the lost man has nothing to look forward to in life. For the Bible says, no hope, no hope, no hope. One day the hedge will come down and Satan will destroy our flesh. But nothing can destroy my salvation. It's in Christ Jesus. It's permanent in Christ Jesus. I have a meaningful life in Christ. God's got a plan for me, and God's got a plan for you. I have forgiveness of my sins and a life of a genuine peace in my heart. And happiness that this world knows nothing about. What a protection that God has for us in 2015. He's built a hedge around us. He's got his hands under us. He's got his helper, the Holy Spirit, within us. And he's got our hope above us. Oh, one day, the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shall come. The Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise. And then we, which are alive, and oh, I hope I'm alive when he comes. I want to see him. I want to be caught up in the clouds to meet him, to ever be with the Lord. What an inheritance. If you don't know that today, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, won't you come? Won't you simply by faith say, Lord, I realize I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I want you to save my life. And if you'll make that public by just coming down and saying, preacher, listen, I want to tell people I love Christ. He died for me and I'm accepting that. I'm turning from my sin and I'm going to walk with him. Oh, let me tell you something. There'll be some rough times, but oh, it'll be glory. Glory, for his grace is sufficient for you. Would you come this morning? Some of you are here, you've been saved, and you just need to renew your commitment. You haven't lived faithful as you should. None of us have. I renew my commitment to God just about every week. There's nothing wrong with that. I want him to know whose side I'm on. Man, and if you need to do that, you come and just recommit yourself day by day to God. Maybe you're here and you're visiting, you're looking for a church home, and this is the place God has led you. Won't you come? I'll be glad to share with you how you can join our church. Oh, this little lady, she's dead and gone now. She told me, she said, she wrote this out. She said, this is the best church that I've ever been a member of. That's come from somebody besides a preacher. And she also said, take it what it's worth, she said, you're the best pastor. And I told her family, when I see her in heaven, I'll give her that $5 over. Would you come? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, for your concern for us, your protection that's there for us. And Lord, we pray that if there's somebody today, give them the strength to simply step out by faith and say, I want to trust Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want that hope, that assurance that when I die, I'll live forever with Christ. For it's in your precious name we ask these things. Amen.